Hey guys, and welcome to I think our 16th episode, of all time, and our second episode of season two of Big Red Banter. I'm here as usual with the guys, Jake and Mike. Mike is back for season two. Welcome, guys. What's going on?
Mike, give yourself a big introduction. Hype yourself up.
I just want to say hi, man. It's good to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. If you won't hype yourself up, I will. We have our word wizard back. I'm very excited. He's going to give us not only his expertise, but he's going to deliver it in such a unique and amazing way. This is going to be the highlight of my week. So we're going to have some fun with this.
I'm hyped for season two. It'll be an unmasking of all the latest news in sports for sure.
And, you know, that would be an even better joke if people could see that you were holding up a mask during that joke, but they can't because it's a podcast, which is always a bummer. So we should really start doing some video clips of this. I don't know. I'll figure that out later. That's just administrative stuff.
We got a lot of ideas, fellas.
In fact. So we'll just get right into it. There's some big major league news. It's always big major league news because, like, I mean, there's no like distractions from the bigs. So like any news is big news. Any news is just news, period. I'm happy to have news that's not like anything else about COVID or politics. I'm just happy to have some sports news.
Exactly.
But it happened, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday with Trout, right? Mike Trout?
Yeah, going into some baseball. So 2 days ago, the headline was Trout catches salmon. And if you're not exactly someone who knows baseball, you're thinking, why am I seeing an article about fish? But Mike Trout on Friday, I believe, caught Tim Salmon's Angels home run record. He hit 299 home runs.
Which, by the way, has to suck. If you get stopped at like 290, what was it?
299.
Was it Roberto Clemente who had like, what was it, 499 for his career or 399?
I think so, but he also had an even 3,000 hits, so that's a satisfying number. Yeah.
That's fine. I like numbers that end in zeros. Like,
exactly.
I mean, I think we all do. It's just like we all have a little OCD like that.
Pretty much. But then yesterday, on Saturday, Trout hit his 300th home run, his 300th career home run, and he's only 29 years old. He is like one of the youngest players of all time to hit 300 home runs and have 200 stolen bases. We've talked about Trout before, like five-tool player, generational player, arguably going to be like the greatest of all time. Although he's on a team that's not exactly performing well in the Los Angeles Angels.
Dude,
they won the last couple ones. They walked it off last night, I think.
That means literally nothing when you're like 50 games under. That means almost zero.
I'm pretty sure they have like less than 15 wins, which is pretty bad. Hey, you gotta love watching Mike Trout. He's got that beautiful short swing. I saw a clip online where some poor editor at like Major League Baseball, like Cut 4, had to like edit all 300 like swings into like a 60-second video. It was really cool, but I mean,
isn't that 5 swings per second?
Pretty much, yeah.
That is hard.
It was like rapid fire, like bing, 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 bing. It was pretty cool, but it was very, like, I watched that and I was like, wow, this poor digital editor.
That's abuse. That's abuse, bro. I hope they gave him the weekend off, like, straight up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
So, in other, like, news per se, we're going to go a little off the cuff after we talk about news, but I definitely want to talk about last week's trades. Because a week ago, because we're recording this on Sunday the 6th, a week ago, we had the trade deadline, which meant if you wanted a player, you wanted that contract, you had to do it then. And let me tell you, there were some teams that went from good to really good with this trade deadline. And we're going to talk about first the Padres. Dude, because the Padres, they are such a good team. They're overshadowed by the Dodgers in that division because the Dodgers have like 30 wins.
Yep.
Which is, they're guaranteed to be 500 because it's only 60 games. So they could lose every game and they'll still make the playoffs because, God, I hate that. I hate those Dodgers. They're unbelievable. But Padres, their front office, I mean, these people are insane. The big names they acquired, arguably a top 10 pitcher in the league, a Mr. Mike Clevinger from the Cleveland Indians. And the crazy thing is, normally you don't trade a top guy unless he's being a little overpaid or you're about to lose his contract anyway. Mike Clevenger's contract does not expire until the 2022 offseason. So the Padres.
I mean, he's like, look, oh my God. Top 10 pitcher, also like objectively a top 10 jerk in the league because he just like fully lied about like not going out, or he lied about going out with Dan Plesac, or not Dan Plesac.
Zach Plesac, like, yeah.
Zach, Dan is his dad who works in the MLB business. That's got to suck for him. but he lied about like going out with Zach, like with some friends because of COVID. And so they were like, you need to get out of here. Like players were Oliver Perez was like, I will not play unless you get rid of them or like option them.
Yeah, it was there was definitely clubhouse tensions, and I'd be lying if I said that didn't play a part in him getting traded. But yeah. Look, jerk or not, dude's a beast on the mound, and if we're talking an objective impact player, the Padres got a steal, like a steal. They gave away like a prospect and a guy who like had really yet to kind of prove himself in the major league level. Not necessarily, like he had some time. He was like an outfielding prospect. Young talent, you have more control over these guys for Cleveland, but Cleveland fans are pretty upset. They also acquired Trevor Rosenthal, who's a pretty high quality reliever. He's actually pretty cool. He's always really nice on Twitter. He's always like, I'm so excited to pitch today. It was such a fun day. That's a reliable arm. I mean, he's a weird dude, but I kind of like it. And when you're on Twitter, it's kind of nice to see a wholesome tweet.
Yeah, that's true.
another big thing the Padres got, even though they have one of the best defensive first basemen in the league in Eric Hosmer, who's actually hitting very well this year, they went and picked up yet another defensive first baseman who's hitting very well this year in Mitch Moreland. So, yeah, this team, like, I find it hard to believe that, like, if you're a pitcher facing this Padres team, you're kind of like, oh, man, I can't really give this guy, like, good stuff, you know? Like,
man, like, you just go on Twitter and you're like, man, I'm not excited to pitch today. Like,
and they
man,
also
like, please take me out. Like, trade me, please.
Yeah, trade me. Trade me. Trade me to the Padres. Yeah, I want to be on this team. They also picked up two hitting catchers that their catching position was not very great in terms of offensive production. So they picked up Jason Castro and Austin Nola. And look, those aren't like huge names, but definitely an improvement. And they also picked up another outfielder, Greg Allen. They pretty much everybody they picked up are impact names. And because they have such a deep farm system, they were able to give up prospects and they still have like one of the top prospect systems in the league. Like, they traded for over 5 impact major league players, and they gave up prospects, and they're still riding their farm system so well. This team, front offices need to watch this team. It's absolutely nuts. A guy, like a vice president in their operations department was like, yeah, we want the World Series, and we think we have a shot. So that's pretty hardcore. Clearly, they're in a front office that knows what they're doing. So shout out to the Padres. Keep watching that team. We've talked about them this year. Another team that did a lot. We're going to move a little quicker here. So Blue Jays needed pitching. That's just a fact. their rotation after like Ryu and Roark was kind of like not great. So they picked up Robbie Ray, who's expensive contract, not having a great year, but you know, he's been a great pitcher in the past. So they got him. Taijuan Walker, who's a really nice pitcher who was with Seattle. They got him.
Same deal. Walker was great. Ray was great on the D-backs. Walker's great on the Mariners. Like, they were great. Yeah.
Well, hopefully the Toronto pitching coach can maybe, like, talk them out of their slump. And they also picked up Ross Stripling. And those are, like I said, those are 3 big pitchers. Like, you just took
reliable dudes.
Yeah. You just took a below-average rotation and made it, like, one of the best in your division. So, that's pretty impressive. And they also picked up a pretty nice infielder from Miami, Jonathan Villar. He can play like second. He can play short. He's not that bad with the stick at the plate. So that was a pretty nice thing. They have Bo Bichette, their star shortstop, who's hurt.
Yeah.
So yet they're still winning games. So that was a good pickup for them. And like I said, their team, they really only got rid of like prospects. So that was pretty impressive. I do want to talk a little bit about the Reds. They only made 2 moves, but they're a team, like, if you look at their roster on paper, they should be
on
playing
paper, they're
way
so good.
Better.
They're so good. Eugenio Suarez hit 3 home runs yesterday. Like, he's shortstop, right?
He's their third baseman.
He's third baseman.
Three in one game?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and nobody's ever heard of this dude. I guarantee outside of this dude's family, like, nobody has any idea.
Are you kidding me? He broke a major league record last year. He hit 49 dingers. He broke the record for NL third baseman.
I personally only cared about Pete Alonso. Did not care at all about Eugenio Suarez. Although he does have a better name than Pete Alonso. But that is the only credit I will give him.
Sounds like an ignorant Mets fan.
I don't want to get into this.
We will get more opinionated later.
Yeah.
But they picked up a good reliever in Archie Bradley. A good reliever who's struggling in Archie Bradley. And they picked up a good hitter, Brian Goodwin. So hopefully, now they look even better on paper. So I really hope that they actually start like winning games. And they did last night with three homers. So, yeah, definitely a team that has been a rough start to the season. Like, they had a really nice offseason. You thought they'd really be productive, and they just weren't.
Those are the trades, the big trades.
We got one more I want to talk about. This is literally one guy. So, I'm a huge Starling Marte fan, and poor dude had a really rough offseason. He got traded, and unfortunately, he lost his wife in a freak heart attack accident.
Oh, my God.
It was really, really tragic to hear. And, I mean, he's a great defensive outfielder. He was struggling at the plate this year. But he signed with the D-backs, and then they traded him that same year, and he got traded to the Marlins. And his first game back, he went yard. And it was just – it was kind of cool. I don't know. I got a little emotional. I was like,
that's
I really
great,
hope
that's
you want this. You
story.
Want this guy to play well. I mean, and especially getting traded in 2020, where you kind of have to go from, like, bubble to bubble, and you're kind of like – hi, I'm going to be spending the next, like, you know, I'm going to be spending the rest of the season, like, getting to know you even more than I normally would during a regular season because we're stuck together all the time. My name's Starling. What's up? And then he went and he made a big difference. So. Exactly.
Yeah. He was like phenomenal for a couple of years on the Pirates. Like he was really, really good. I believe he was an all-star. I'm not totally sure, but I believe
he made
all-star.
The team a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was great, but like, no, like good. Honestly, like he's on the Marlins right now. Like they somehow is because it's 2020. They're looking at a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, they're like one game back.
this is weird. So like, it's like fine. I mean, it's fine if they make it as long as the Mets make it as well. Otherwise, like I'm never going to be able to look anyone in the face and be like, I think the Mets are better than the Marlins when the Mets did not make the playoffs and the Marlins did. So I'll never be able to hold that. So, but glad the Marlins picked him up. Good dude, good player. Mets are sucking right now, like all over the place. And it's like if their hitting's good, like they'll lose like 24-21. Or if their pitching's good, they'll lose 1-0. Like that's just how it is. That's just how it is at the Mets. It's been for the last few years. But the Yankees, I'm happy to say, this is my last thing for baseball. The Yankees, I'm also happy to say, do suck right now. Jake, you're wearing a Yankees hat. I'm wearing a Mets shirt. And we're both in pain. So that's good.
We are in pain. The Yankees, Gerrit Cole has had two like historically bad starts. He like leads the major leagues in most home runs hit off of him. He's our pitcher. It sucks. Also, we have, I believe, like six guys in our starting lineup that are hitting below 200.
Yep.
So when your entire offense is reliant on Luke Voit, DJ LeMahieu, and Gio Urshela, and Gio is now hurt, by the way, because we've talked about how terrible the Yankees are with injuries.
Yep.
And like that's literally six or seven other people in the lineup that are just going to ground out or strike out, maybe pop out and move a runner if you're lucky.
Ooh, exciting.
So, yeah, you can't win games that way. You just can't. So,
right.
At least Torres is back.
Yeah, Glaber's back and against the Orioles too. So, we all know he literally makes that ballpark like his playground. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's I think mostly what's going on in baseball. Jake, you know a bit about NHL. What's happening there? We're in the semifinals right now. We're in the conference finals.
Yeah, exactly. We are in the conference finals. So we had the Eastern Conference games go in Toronto. We had the Western Conference games go in Edmonton. And now they're moving that bubble. I believe they're moving everybody into Edmonton for these four remaining teams. We got a low-seeded playoff spot in the New York Islanders. Mike, let's hear it.
Yes, sir.
Represent.
it was a strong start filled by dismay. after nearly blowing a 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
And it was a nice conclusion though with the blanking the Flyers in the final game yesterday, game 7.
4-0, right? 4-0.
Yeah. It was a great. I remember the Flyers, you know, it's game 7, so they want this game and they're down 3 goals at the time, and so they pulled their goalie with like over 5 minutes left, hoping for just an absolute miracle. And I mean, I kind of like the Flyers a little bit because they have the old Rangers coach, Elaine Vigneault, but I didn't really want them to win. I just kind of wanted them to like maybe make it competitive, but empty net, like the Islanders just scored an empty netter and blew them out. It was a good series to watch. It was definitely an interesting, because, you know, Islanders almost blew a 3-1 lead, but right. they're going to be playing the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. And the Western mm-hmm. Conference, mm-hmm. Western Conference is pretty exciting too. The Stars almost blew a 3-1 lead over the Avalanche as well. And I have a buddy who's like the biggest Colorado Avalanche fan you will ever meet. Shout out to Nick Farocco Hadlock. But I texted him after they lost game 7 because the Avalanche has had a little bit of injuries during this season or this series as well. And he was not happy. I was like, this is a safe space. Just let it out, Nick.
Dude, there was the Avalanche game. I'm not sure which game it was. I think the Avalanche, I'm pretty sure they were down like 3-1 or something. Wasn't that the game where they scored 5 in the first period? Like, yep. That was ridiculous. I kept checking my phone. Like, I don't have any, like, other reaction other than what. Like, I've never seen that. I've seen – we talked about Zibanejad scoring 5 for the Rangers in a game, which is also unheard of. But, like, 5 in the first period in a playoff game, like, that is absurd. It's yeah. absurd.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And they still lost the series, which is just worse.
Yeah. Well,
who are the Stars facing, by the way?
So the Stars are going to be facing the Golden Knights. And the Golden Knights and the Canucks also went to Game 7. Oh my God. So a lot of people want the Knights to win just because they're, like, a relatively new team. They were an expansion team in 2017, I believe. So, like, it would be kind of cool to see, like, the young, hip team sort of take it, even though they were already in a Stanley Cup their first year, which is, like, history. That was majorly impressive. But that's definitely the team that is, I guess, more popular in the West. But I don't know. We got 3 game 7s in the quarterfinal round of the playoffs. So that means that there's a lot of really intense, really, like, just teams that know how to bounce back. And yeah. Now we're in the semis, so even more emotion. This is going to be a fun tournament to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty hyped for this. I'm just like, I don't know why. I just respect the Golden Knights so much. One, because they're like able to play in Vegas and still like focus on hockey.
well, they can't. They're not in Vegas now.
Big distraction, man, with all those fans there. Yeah, you're right.
And also it's Vegas. And then two, just like the fact that they made it to the finals in their first year as an expansion team, that was just like absurd. And I'm not sure like what kind of like sketchy deals had to go down for them to buy all these like insane players. But like, look, I respect it because it worked out. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there was definitely.
I'm pulling. It would be cool to have Golden Knights versus Islanders. I think that would be a sick finals.
That would be a pretty cool finals.
Yeah,
especially because the Islanders were seeded like 7th overall when entering this tournament, and now they have a shot at the Cup, which is pretty impressive. So
yeah, because it's unheard of.
So I'm gonna take it over to you two to talk a little bit about the NFL because I have not really been seeing that much stuff.
Honestly, there's not that much going on in the NFL. I did see a pretty sick photo of Joe Burrow, who just looked like an absolute like stud walking out of the gates or whatever. Not the gates. That sounds like too regal. He just walked out of the locker room. but he was just jacked. Oh, this is big. Patrick Mahomes got engaged to, I think it was Brittany Lynn.
Yeah, like his high school sweetheart, engaged. I think.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, I think, a fitness influencer with plenty of followers on Instagram. They have a lot of combined followers. I really respect that. but they got engaged the day that Mahomes got a Super Bowl ring, which is pretty sick.
That's Imagine pretty sick. If that was the ring he used. Like, he just gets it in the mail. Honey, I'm getting down on one knee now.
Yeah, and then they look back in, like, you know, 50 years, like, oh, look at my red ring. It's so sweet. You know, he usually has a sentimental message. Like, he'd be telling the grandchildren, like, oh, the grandchildren would be like, oh, what does it say on the ring? And it says, like, yes, yeah, Super Bowl for, like, the Chiefs. Love you, honey. So that's honestly, that's big news, I feel like.
That'd be pretty cool, though. I mean, it probably did not happen, but that would be pretty cool. If Patrick Mahomes gave me his Super Bowl ring, I don't care if it was because he was engaged to me. I'm taking that ring.
100%. If there's a Super Bowl ring like sitting out, like I will steal it. I don't I'm challenging every cop out there to come after me. I will take that ring. It's a nice ring. You know what I mean?
It's a fact.
So that's been big NFL news. I mean, in terms of like teams. You had Leonard Fournette get released by the Jaguars and signed with the Buccaneers. He's signed with the Buccaneers.
Of course, he's going to go team up with Brady and Gronk.
Yeah, and he's not even their starter. Apparently, they were like, "Yeah, he's going to have to just earn his way into the lineup or something." I don't know. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. The Buccaneers are stacked. Everyone's going to want to go join them. Saw a couple good videos of rookie wide receivers. I like their class this year, but. Yeah, I mean, just like we're just gonna wait to see what happens. I mean, college football is going on right now in some places. I know SMU had a game, and they were really good last year. SMU was great last year, and I don't know how to pronounce the quarterback's name, like Shane Buechele. Does anyone know how to say it, pronounce it? I don't know. If you listen, you can look it up. No one really cares about SMU, but he's a good QB, really good QB. I remember the one game we threw for like 400 or 500 yards last year. Like he's a good QB. And I know Army played, they shut out, I don't even know, this other relevant school, 42-0. Obviously, that's why they're relevant, because they suck. So, a lot of college football, like, that is happening in some parts of the country. I don't know what's going to happen here, but I want to be optimistic. I want to say if you can do it safely and push it back, maybe we can have some kind of season. I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm actually kind of impressed how many conferences, college football, like big D1 conferences are still trying to do this. You know, we got your Pac-12, you got your SEC, you got your ACC, even got the AAC. Yeah. Notice how America East and Ivy League are not there, because nobody wants to watch those football.
College football. You're the mecca of college football within the Ivy League, so how are they going to do it?
I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to watch Cornell lose to Georgetown 14-8 on homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why you wouldn't want to watch that, but
blockbuster of a game.
Yeah. So here's my thing, it's actually a question. I'm guessing because not all conferences have decided to play. Obviously, the bigger ones are trying to get some games going because those are big money conferences, and I can understand that. Are they going to be playing conference only, division only? Because, Cornell, we're an Ivy League team, but we played Georgetown, and that's interconference play. You can't really do interconference play games. I imagine that's probably what's going to be more risk in terms of getting the virus as well as playing an interconference game. So I would hope that they're taking precautions. Obviously, football is a different sport in terms of how's it going to work with COVID. Because even with baseball, Major League Baseball tried to do a thing and keep everybody safe as possible, but people still got it. So, right. You never know what's going to happen. I hope that college football and these big conferences can keep stuff, together and keep it under control.
Yeah, they really got to focus, on doing regional stuff. They have to do regional stuff because that's what, that's what baseball's doing, and it's still, slightly a problem. They just can't have guys, travel across the country to play. I think even having bowl games is risky because those are just based on record and whatever. It's not based on geography. So I think that's still a risk. So I don't know what they're going to do. But I am optimistic that they'll be able to have some kind of season. I mean, they're having a season right now and we'll see how it goes. I'm sure there's going to be some outbreaks on some teams. It's inevitable. But I'm hoping they can push it forward. So I don't really know what's going to happen. Is the entire conclusion. I did not need to speak for that long.
All made some valid points. There's questions that need to be answered, and we talk about this a lot whenever we talk about a new store or a new sport starting up. But with good reason, because stuff could really get really bad really quick. This virus is still a huge problem, even though it's been months and months and months. So it's important that we keep bringing these up because it's a very valid question.
Yeah, we don't even have sports. I cannot speak English. We do not even have sports here right now at Cornell, and we still have cases. So,
yeah,
so we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
But is there anything else that you guys know of NFL related to report?
I'm all good. Yeah, I think we should just move into our very unique and cool ad.
Yeah, I agree. We will take an ad break and we will be right back.
No matter where I go, I insist on looking stylish and being comfortable. So I rely on the eye-catching menswear at Tropical Bros. They have everything I need. Happening Hawaiian shirts, snappy polos, and sharp swimsuits. So whether I'm swinging on the links, sunning by the pool, or sipping at the bar, I always look and feel my best. Stylish.
Gentlemen, find your style at tropicalbros.com. That's tropical, BROS.com. First-time customers will receive 30% off with the code TROPICAL. Enjoy life in style. Tropical style.
All right, we're back. And wow, Tropical Bros, gentlemen. Talk about shirts, polos, swimsuits. It's getting a little chilly. We're entering into fall, Labor Day weekend. Got to check out Tropical Bros. Big Labor Day sale. Amazing prints. I'm wearing one right now. Super comfortable. I'm hopping on Zoom, but I got to do it in comfort. No better way. The Tropical Bros way.
Agreed. Not only that, I mean, I will say, yeah, might be getting a little chilly. But hey, first of all, savor the sunshine, especially in Ithaca. Oh my God. When the sun goes down and the clouds rise, I guess it's not fun. Not a good time. No sunset on the slope. And B, you still crack open a ginger ale, you know, with your boys on the slope or anywhere. You can definitely drink ginger ale in public. That's not illegal. So go do that. And honestly, snag some Tropical Bros products. For real, we all have them. And they're insanely comfortable. And if you enter the code TROPICALBANTER on tropicalbros.com, you can get 20% off your first purchase from them. So go do that. Enter the code TROPICALBANTER. Get 20% off. Good products, y'all. And with that, Mike, NBA man, you know what's going on.
Oh, there's so much going on. I want to start. I don't even know where to start. Well, how about we start with greatness? Chasing greatness, the king, LeBron James. They actually lost the first game against Houston, but did y'all see this poster that he put Russell Westbrook on? I mean, dude, this guy's 35 years old.
Yeah. My God.
It was a dunk contest within the game. Too bad, because it definitely wasn't a three-point contest. I mean, they couldn't score. They lost, the Lakers. Yeah. But LeBron just rose up and threw the hammer down.
Dude, he destroyed Westbrook. And, you know, honestly, I'm glad Westbrook got humbled. Like he needs someone to, like, knock his ego down a little bit. He has some wild clothing choices. And he also just, like, I don't know, man. Like, I think he's just overhyped. He cannot shoot. I don't know if you guys saw at the end of – oh, my God. It was at the end of their series or one of the games against, I believe, the Thunder, right? It was when the Thunder evened it up at seven games, right? He had a chance to, like, you know, either put the game away or tie it or something, some important moment right at the end of the game, and just straight up airballed a jumper. And he's literally known for his jumper. It was horrific. Didn't even touch the net. So I'm glad he got humbled by Braun.
Well, at least I can relate to Russell Westbrook on that.
Getting humbled.
Well, I was just saying missing a jumper.
Missing jumpers.
Missing, just airballing a shot.
Well, then. Nice. I guess then you could rate to also Giannis going now from the West to the East. They're down 3-0 against Miami. Miami squad is just so well-rounded and deep. Between Jimmy Butler, obviously the catalyst, the team leader. You have Bam Adebayo, had his jersey from my day in Miami. I saw him live. Who else? So we got Tyler Herro, the hero.
Goran Dragic, is he on?
Dragic.
Yeah, I love Tyler Herro, by the way.
Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala. I mean, the list goes on. Kelly Olynyk. Can't forget Kelly with the flow. Just an elite team. And Giannis and the Bucks have had no answer. So I think they have a chance of getting swept. And that looks like a big stain on Giannis's shirt, man. I think
he's got a sprained ankle, too. He's got a sprained ankle right now, so it's questionable for tonight's game.
So, I think if they get swept, he's gonna make a move somewhere else. Like, he's gonna come to New York.
Seen on that. Oh my God. New York would find a way for him to tear, like, all of his ACLs. And like,
stop trying to make the Knicks happen, Mike.
It's impossible. It's impossible. James Dolan's gonna be like, yeah,
happenings there. I mean, then you have like on the other side these two series. I mean, well, I think Bucks are gonna get swept. I think Lakers and Houston. I think Houston will pull out in like six or seven. They'll actually make the conference finals. But then you have two really like deadlocked series. You have Denver against the Clippers, and then Boston against Toronto. And Boston and Toronto are at 2-2 right now, two apiece. And Denver and Clippers are at one apiece. And I'm actually going to say, for the Denver series, I think Denver's got a decent chance between Murray and Jokic of beating Kawhi Leonard.
I have some thoughts on all of that. You do not have faith in the Lakers to pull out the series despite losing game one. You don't have faith in them.
Nope.
How? Their team is so deep. Like, they lost game one to the Blazers, and everyone was like, yeah, Blazers are going to sweep them, and then absolutely annihilated, like, crushed their will to live for the rest of the series. Like, how can you justify the Rockets pulling that out? They literally have Harden, and they have overrated Westbrook, and that's it.
Well, they got P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I'm just kidding. I think AD is going to have, like, some monster games, but I think the Lakers are going to slow down a little bit. And losing seven. But I could be wrong. Let's see what happens. I definitely think that the Nuggets are going to upset the Clippers. And then as far as, like, Boston-Toronto goes, that's really a coin toss. I do think that whoever makes it will lose to the Heat. I feel like the Heat is going to be a finals-caliber team once again, which is going to be exciting. Imagine LeBron playing his old team, the Heat, in the finals in 2020.
I was going to say, I would love to see a Rockets Heat, I would love to see a Lakers Heat. Yeah, it's a Freudian slip right there. I would love to see a Lakers Heat finals. That would be so sick. That'd be so, so cool. I do think the Nuggets are going to pull it out. I don't know if you saw the game yesterday, but they scored 44 in the first quarter. Like, they just piled on, and they almost blew the game, which was really, really, like, disappointing. They were leading by 23 at one point. They were leading by over 20 in the first quarter. And by the fourth, the Clippers had gotten to within five, but Nuggets ended up pulling it out. I love Murray, and Jokic was like on fire in the first last night, like on fire in the first half. So I like the Nuggets. I like the Lakers, and I like the Heat. I would like to see the Celtics pull it out, because I think the Celtics do deserve it. I would like to see them pull it out, but I don't know if they can, because they lost all this momentum from the first two games of the series.
I mean, I'm just so surprised that Toronto is still in it without Kawhi. Like, how good they've been doing without him, which is very surprising.
Yeah, yeah. With this momentum, I mean, like, the argument you can make for the Raptors moving on is simply because, like, they have so much momentum for the last couple games. Like, really, really good. And that OG Anunoby shot at the buzzer.
That was insane.
My God. I didn't think you could actually get a three-pointer off with 0.5 seconds left, but apparently you can.
Jake, you threw it up with 0.5 seconds left to win the game. This guy was camping out in the corner. No one even noticed him. He was out of the picture. Cross-court pass all the way to the corner. He catches it and just sinks the three for the win.
Straight up prayer.
I need him in my pickup games, because I really need someone to help me out.
Yeah, guys that can just throw it up and luckily it goes in. That's the demographic that we play with.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was sick. And the last thing I'll say on that is they had, I think, Kyle Lowry throwing the ball in, but they put in Taco Fall. The Celtics put him in to defend the inbound, because he's just, like, you know, he is all of the height. He is all of the height in the world combined. And they just put him there to try and defend the pass, and somehow Lowry made, like, a phenomenal pass to OG Anunoby, who has a great name, by the way. Definitely better than Eugenio Suarez, for sure. So, really disproving my earlier point. But so that's what's going on in the NBA. You got last thing to say.
Well, I just think before we move on to some pretty interesting soccer news, there is some older news in the NBA and just around sports in general that, going off the cuff a little bit, I do want to talk about, despite having this happen like over a week ago. It started with the Bucks. It started in Wisconsin, where we had this unfortunate, just terrible incident with Jacob Blake, and how a lot of social unrest came from that movement. It started with the Milwaukee Bucks, and then later spread across the NBA that weekend for boycotting and just not playing games. And it also spread across Major League Baseball. A lot of teams decided to not play the game that night and postpone that game, which actually we can talk about this a little bit later, but that led to some pretty heavy heat on the commissioner's office. But one thing that was really, really cool to see is how everybody across sports got together and said, like, yeah, this is bigger than sports. We saw a lot of really powerful NBA players come together and say, like, yeah, I like playing today is just going to be like, so like, I've been impacted by this so much. I just can't play today. And like, we need change to be happening or for us to feel like safer in our own world, which is a really scary feeling. And as a Met fan, Skylar, I'm sure you saw this, but Dom Smith, I don't know much about Dom Smith, but he got in a post game interview. I believe the game they played that game, and then the next game they decided to postpone and boycott, partially due to what Dom Smith said. But he was in tears, and because reporters asked him about what he saw around the NBA about teams boycotting, and he got really emotional, and he was like. I don't think I will ever be able to understand, or any of us will be able to understand, what it's like to try and like play and do your job and do something that difficult when feeling the way that he did. So that was really, like, I teared up a little bit, not gonna lie to you guys. That was, I mean, Dom Smith just seems like really, really huge shout out to him for being able to like talk about these things, because not easy to talk about. And so many broadcasters and athletes and people across America were really able to speak up and get really important conversations going because of these things. So that it was really important and really nice to see during these hard times, a lot of athletes come together and share a common message.
Yeah, I fully agree. I mean, that's a great point. And like, I mean, you know, Dom, so he went on, first of all, he went on a tear after this. He went on an absolute offensive tear. It was insane. And you know, like especially in the NBA, dude, the post game interviews, like with Jamal Murray after he dropped 50 to keep the series going, he was like really emotional and like just, you know, talking about everything that's going on. I know Jimmy Butler in a post game interview was like, "You got to vote, just like straight up vote, register to vote and vote." Like, it starts with, and he was like, "It starts with us." I think that was him who said, "Is like, it starts with us, starts with the players." And so they're making like a concerted effort to vote. Like, you know, there's more than a vote in the, I think that's in the NFL, but I think it might be across leagues. And, or I think Braun's involved with that.
Yeah. They're like turning stadiums of multiple sports into polling and voting places. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's super important. And they've done a really great job of like spotlighting that, because like, regardless of wherever you fall on the spectrum, like, vote straight up. So yeah, I would send that message out for sure. But that's a really, really good point.
I believe the National Basketball Association, like the NBA office, made legitimate like structural changes. I believe it has something to do with like adding ways for athletes to talk about voting platforms. And so like people were saying like, oh, like they're boycotting, what are they asking for? I hope they're getting the change that they asked for. And the NBA actually answered with legitimate structural change. I'm not quite sure what exactly they changed, but there was a list of things that you should check out if you're interested in.
Yeah, definitely go take a look. I think it's like iamavoter.org or something. I think that's
yes,
the,
I think
that's
so what it's too, like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, iamavoter.org.
Awesome.
Sweet. And then rounding out the show, we got some really interesting soccer news. I actually think this is the most interesting news that I have heard, like in between these episodes. This is the most interesting thing I've heard. But I can't explain it super succinctly because I don't follow soccer super succinctly. So just either of you guys know what's going on better than I do exactly.
Well, Lay the groundwork, Mike.
I wasn't really paying attention to it. You know, it's just like average run-of-the-mill player. Lionel Messi, I think, is the way you pronounce
it. Yeah, you know that name?
Something about him playing for one of the most historic and legendary teams of all time, FC Barcelona in Spain. But nothing much. Who knows if he'll stay, if he'll go. But he's actually going to stay.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to stay.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, there was a lot. So I don't have the full story. I will tell you what I know, and please don't, you know, shoot the messenger here, because these are not fact checked, but we do want to talk about this. So what I heard is that Messi wanted to leave, and he was considering moving to Manchester City, because I believe they probably would have given him a boatload of money, and it's his old manager, Pep Guardiola, is there. So that definitely would have been a trade or a move that people would have liked to see and would have been, you know, within reason to see. Because apparently he and the Barcelona front office are kind of getting into some, you know, combative dialogue here. I mean, he's been a Barcelona guy. Like, he came up in the Barcelona system. Like, this is his home. He's played there his entire career. But he's been getting into some fights with them because I'm assuming they probably want to have more control over his contract. And that's probably not right, because if you're Lionel Messi, you should want – like, I feel like if Barcelona, like the office and the president, just sort of like gave him more freedom in his contract, he probably wouldn't even want to leave. He'd probably just be like, yeah, this is my home. Yeah. Like, yeah, this isn't, like, our season. We're going to win a title, but, like, that's okay because we've won a million and we're going to be good again next year anyway. So I just can't imagine. If Messi did want to leave, of course, that's his right, and he's one of the greatest players of all time. He can go wherever he wants. He might have gone back home to play in Argentina. We don't know. But I think the club
should have gone to MLS.
Yeah, or come to the MLS. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, this dude – wherever he goes, he's clearly going to be a huge, huge, huge impact player, and he should kind of have the right to sort of decide where he goes. That's not necessarily something the club should just casually take away from him. Even if it's like a weird legal contract thing, I definitely think that Messi has every right to sort of be upset with his Barcelona front office and sort of kind of forcing him to stay there.
Yeah, I feel like it's just wrong. Like, and he's given so much to, like, the city, like, emotionally, just, like, the lifeblood. I mean, come on, like, America's the only sport that really does not care about soccer at all until, like, we make it to the World Cup and lose in, like, the second round. So we really don't care. But, like, soccer is literally everything in Spain. Soccer is everything. And so for them just to straight up disrespect one of the greatest players of all time is pretty atrocious. So, it's sad to watch, but he's going to stay there. He's basically playing under protest. It's really weird. But, you know, I hope he gets, like, some contract worked out. Like, I would love to see him, like, be happy. I think everyone would love to see him be happy because, like, you know, when he's happy, like, people are happy because they identify with athletes.
When Messi is happy, I'm happy. Yeah, you identify with your heroes. That's, like –
Let me play devil's advocate for a second. You can't talk about Messi. You can't talk about Messi and not address the elephant in the room. Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, boy.
Now, let me tell you something. Messi, he is one of the greatest players of all time, no debating. But when you talk about, like, solidifying your legacy, we already spoke about how he grew up in the Barcelona system. He's been there for years and years and years. As of late, Barcelona has been nowhere near, you know, where it was, you know, when he was winning Champions Leagues with them. I mean, they literally got demolished by a Bayern Munich team that is – well, that is great, but even so, I mean, they looked like they were playing like they were like in a Europa League team against the Champions League champ, you know, champ.
Yeah.
So
yeah. They did not look like they belonged in the Champions League.
It was like an 8-goal game. So when I think about Messi and how he compares to Ronaldo, I mean, I give Ronaldo the benefit of the doubt that, and I'm talking about Cristiano Ronaldo again, that he left the Prem, proved himself there, went to La Liga, proved himself there against Messi and those tough Barcelona teams in their prime. And now he's proving himself again in Serie A on a great Juventus team. And listen, it's not the most competitively, but it's one of them in Italy. I mean, in terms of the world, it's one of the most competitive leagues. Obviously, it's Italy's Premier League. So, you know, I'm thinking, like, you know, Messi, if he made it, the jump to Man City, and given, like, it would definitely would have been easier for him to make the jump and have all those resources between the coaches, between the teammates, between the money, the contract, it would have just made so much sense for him to leave to go to Man City. Plus, you talk about MLS, there was even rumors that they were going to tie in, like, a long-term contract with a clause that had him leaving to go to the MLS in a certain number of years to America. So that seemed like a win-win for everybody. I don't know why he, you know, felt compelled. I mean, we talk about loyalty today. You know, there's only so many people who are like one club players. Like, look at Frank Lampard. For every Frank Lampard, you know, you have Andrea Pirlo, who plays for Inter, AC Milan, Juventus, you name it.
Well, soccer is one of those sports where, because there's so many leagues and so many great teams and so many great leagues out there, that it is exceptionally rare to see a great player sort of just stay put his entire career. So look at what Beckham did. Beckham moved all over the place. He even was like one of the first major players to come and play in the U.S. So I see what you're saying. And I definitely think that when we talk about, you know, the Messi versus Ronaldo argument, a very valid point is that Ronaldo has proven himself in multiple leagues, whereas Messi, he's proven himself in La Liga and in Champions League, but those are really the only, and the international stage, but Ronaldo has just seen way more stages and proven himself on multiple different occasions for multiple different clubs. And that is a very valid point. So it would be cool to see Messi move around. It would be weird. It would definitely take some getting used to. Barcelona fans would not be happy. And that's very fair and very valid, but it would definitely be cool to see him move around. It would be awesome to see him come to America. I'm not a huge fan of Manchester City, but even then, you know, if he were to come and play in the English league, I would love to see what kind of impact he can make in the Prem. So yeah, it's kind of two sides to every argument here. If he wants to stay, that's definitely his choice, but it definitely would be probably more interesting, in my opinion, to see him move around.
Love to have him in a red shirt on Arsenal. Shout out to the Gunners.
I don't even want to put that in my head because that'll just never happen.
FA Community Shield. FA Community Shield, though. We're winners. We're trophy winners. So
we did win Liverpool. That's true. We did win a cup this year.
He's double thinking now. Maybe he says, I want to go to Arsenal. No Man City. I'm going to Arsenal, London.
Because Leo Messi wants to win small English tournaments all for the rest of his career, that's for sure.
But, I don't understand any of this. I don't watch soccer.
So I will quickly break it down for the viewers and our listeners. So when you have like the Spanish league and the English league, which a lot of people know, those major leagues also have the clubs in those leagues play separate smaller tournaments for a smaller level trophy. Like you can win the British Premier League, but you can also win the FA Cup, which is a big trophy and like a relatively big tournament for English teams. It's just not as big as the actual Premier League Championship.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was also, wasn't there like some stat where like in the finals of whatever leagues Ronaldo and Messi play in, like it was the first time in a long time that neither one of them had been in like a finals or something. Wasn't there like a stat about that?
I'm not quite sure what you're referring to, but
everyone listening should take my word for it that there was. But don't question it. Don't question anything you hear on this podcast is the best advice I can give to anyone.
Even though multiple times I've been like, I don't have a whole story, but
right. Like the number of times you said that in this episode.
Yeah.
I hope that makes it more credible.
Well, this is a more off the cuff episode. We have fun with this one.
Agreed. I think we've covered pretty much everything. So I think it's going to round out this episode. I totally forgot
one major thing. Oh my God. This is totally out of order and totally random, but I would like hate myself if I forgot to mention this on the show. Clayton Kershaw reached 2,500 strikeouts.
Yes. I forgot about that. He did reach 2,500 strikeouts and he's going to hit 3,000.
Yes. He's going to hit 3,000. He's having an amazing season. I mean, Kershaw, great in the regular season. Watch out in the postseason. That's just a fact. That's an objective statement. Hate me all you want. But 2,500 strikeouts is no laughing matter. Like, probably one of the greatest left-handed pitchers of all time. He's won MVPs as a starting pitcher, which you don't see very often. Clayton Kershaw, one of the GOATs. Good night, everybody.
Shout out to Kershaw. We'll end on that. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Also, we're 68280, and shout out to our GM, Christopher Morales.
There we go. Can't forget. Oh, my God. So we're done.
It's now we're over.
Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. That's what we're doing right now. And also, this is my last thing. This is hypocritical because I'm also adding something else, but go check out Big Red Sports Network. Got a lot of like exciting content coming out. Check out their podcast, Bear Tracks. And we got Mike here who's the prez of BRSN, but go check out their stuff. Big Red Sports Network, Cornell BRSN on social media, and BigRedSportsNetwork.com/.org. Is it .org or .com? Mike, do you know?
.org.
BigRedSportsNetwork.org. Go check it out. Thank you, everyone. Much appreciated. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll catch you later. Make sure to check out our social media accounts at WVBR FM Sports on Instagram and Twitter, and also check out our written content on WVBR.com/sports.